Senate Bill 154, an act to increase the penalty for practicing law without a license.
Senate Bill 154, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Madsen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, Senate Bill 154 is a consumer protection bill, and the question that I want to pose to you is, what do you feel would be an appropriate disposition for someone who took advantage of one of your loved ones by selling to them some sort of irrevocable trust or arrangement like that, and then not doing the documentation properly, not titling the property properly, and basically messing up that person's estate to the point where the family would have to go hire another lawyer, a real lawyer, to straighten the mess out and to get money back for the money spent on the services. Senate Bill 154, like I said, is a consumer protection bill because it's designed to let the punishment fit the crime, if you will. Senate Bill 154 is aimed at people who take advantage of consumers. It's not aimed at people who give advice over the fence about, well, maybe you should think about this, or this is how you can fill out a small claim form. It's designed to target people who take advantage of consumers, people who run around selling irrevocable trusts, which are by their very nature irrevocable, without the knowledge and the know-how to set up the trust properly, to title the property in a correct and legal manner. Here's another example. There are people running around the state right now that are under the guise of representing people who have got injuries and personal injury claims, and they're not attorneys, but they're trying to settle claims for other people, negotiate with insurance companies and other lawyers. And what they're doing is they're doing a disservice to the consumers. Now, it's possible for a civil action to be taken in these cases, but we need to have a more serious penalty, a realistic penalty, to encourage prosecutors in this state to take a serious look at what's going on and to go after the cases. A Class 2 misdemeanor, folks, is the same level of offense as a speeding ticket. And these offenses, when they take place, are much more serious than that. They have more long-lasting effects than a speeding ticket ever will. I want to suggest to you that a Class 1 misdemeanor is something that is much more realistic. It's certainly more realistic in terms of the complicated sort of claims and litigation that are going to take place in dealing with one of these cases. It's certainly on a parity with the unauthorized practice of medicine, which is also a Class 1 misdemeanor. So I ask you folks to consider whether the level of offense of a speeding ticket is the kind of level of offense you should think applies to a situation like this if you or a family member were found in that situation. And to that extent, I'd encourage you to support Senate Bill 154. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 154.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Elliott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak to the bill.
Please do.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, we're honorable members of the body. I'm not going to stand to say anything against lawyers. My brother-in-law is an attorney. Why, some of my best friends are attorneys. I find it kind of interesting that we have a bill here to increase the penalties for those people who aren't real lawyers, when just last week we allowed people who aren't real teachers to become certified. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, honorable members of the body.
Further
Mr.
remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Davis.
Question of the sponsor, please.
State your question.
How does this affect insurance agents who are estate planners?
Representative Madsen, would you care to answer the question?
I will, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. Representative Davis, one thing I should point out on 154 is that it doesn't include a definition of the practice of law. And to the extent that those folks aren't crossing the line, so to speak, and there's some gray areas that exist out there, and financial planning is certainly one of them. Knowledge of taxes and of things to do, and I think I've always found that most responsible financial planners, when they get a little close to the line, normally employ the services of an attorney to help out with those situations and work with those other people. But that's what you've got. There's no definition in here, and whether the line was crossed is something that had to be determined on a case-by-case basis.
Second question, please.
Go ahead with your question.
How does this affect the prisoners who study the law books and write appeals for one another?
Representative Madsen, do you wish to answer that question?
I certainly can. I will try, Mr. Speaker. Representative Davis, I think there's two important things there. First of all, a person always has a right to act as his or her own attorney. So the extent a prisoner would be acting for himself or herself, that's always going to be permissible. And secondly, I can't really speak to the second situation as far as somebody writing appeals or things for anybody else. I really can't help you with that.
Follow-up.
Representative Davis, you have the floor.
Would that make the appearance of practicing law without license?
Representative Madsen?
In all fairness, on a case-by-case basis, I suppose in some circumstances it could, depending on the situation.
Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would have a question of the sponsor if he would answer.
State your question, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Madsen, as I read this statute, if I do not hold myself out as an attorney, can I still be prosecuted as practicing as an attorney?
Representative Madsen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Olson, the best I can do is explain to you the same way I did to Representative Davis, and it's going to depend on a case-by-case basis and what's going on, and, you know, holding yourself out is one thing, but certainly what you've done and what you've told somebody that you could do and what you tried to do are certainly factors that are going to weigh in quite heavily in whether you are practicing law and are unauthorized to do so. It depends.
Mr. Speaker, I would have one more question, and perhaps Representative Madsen is not able to answer, but I will ask it nonetheless. You, if I may, Mr. Speaker.
Go ahead.
Representative Madsen, you made reference to the statute that says that this is very similar to the unlawful practice of medicine. And I don't know if you have any experience in this area or not. But in that area, does a person have to hold themselves out as a physician, or are they able to be prosecuted as a result of their actions without any representation of being a doctor?
Representative Madsen, do you wish to answer that question?
Representative Olson, I'm not sure I understand your question as far as whether a person's holding themselves out to be a physician or whatnot. I can tell you that unauthorized practice of medicine is also a Class 1 misdemeanor.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, just a couple of comments, if I might. I certainly don't want to have people go out and hold themselves out to be attorneys who are not attorneys. I think there's reasons why people get licenses and certification. And as my friend Representative Elliott pointed out, I think there's a reason why we have teacher certification as well. My concern with this particular bill is that I don't think it's going to do what Representative Madsen suggests it's going to do. I think if I say that I'm Mel Olson, attorney at law, very clearly I am not an attorney at law, and very clearly I think I should be prosecuted for holding myself out as an attorney at law. I don't read this bill that way. And if, in fact, as Representative Madsen has indicated, that it is a case-by-case basis, you know, I'm not sure that this increase in penalty does what you want it to do. If, in fact, this result is so heinous that it does, in fact, destroy a person's life, then perhaps a Class 1 misdemeanor is not a powerful enough penalty. The difficulty with this bill, I think, is what Representative Madsen said, is that it, in fact, is a case-by-case basis. And we have a situation where perhaps, as Representative Davis referenced, that an individual who is not holding themselves out as an attorney, but who in fact may be a quote-unquote estate planner, finds themselves running afoul of the law. I guess my view would be that we should leave the penalty where it is in terms of a criminal penalty because of the situations that, in particular, Representative Davis has brought up and because of the answers of Representative Madsen. Then, in fact, it is a case-by-case determination, and perhaps what's leading to the non-prosecution of these items is not the fact that the penalty is so low, but the fact that state's attorneys are making decisions that, in fact, what was happening is not the practice of law. I think we have a remedy in a civil remedy. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I guess I would urge the body to consider that this bill does not achieve the purposes that perhaps Representative Mattson thinks it does.
Further remarks. Representative Tupel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor.
State your question.
Representative Mattson, does a person who feels that they've been wrongly harmed by a person unlawfully practicing law in the state of South Dakota have the right to sue for civil penalties as the law currently stands?
Representative Mattson, do you wish to answer the question?
Yes, I will answer the question, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. Representative Tupel, yes, there is always the possibility of bringing civil litigation, whether it's by the person wronged or maybe the family members of a deceased person whose estate was messed up by one of these people. That's always possible. As a matter of fact, the state bar does have the ability to litigate those cases civilly, but the problem is that they are expensive and they take time. It costs about $5,000 to $7,000 a case for the state bar to litigate those cases. And it's very expensive for private individuals to litigate those cases as well. It's a case where a consumer has had advantage taken of them. It's something that can have long-lasting effects. It can have effects on other family members. And it's something that we ought to consider in terms of raising the penalty. This is a case that is going to take a lot more work for any prosecutor worth his or her salt, a lot more time to prosecute than a run-of-the-mill Class 2 misdemeanor speeding ticket. So by increasing the penalty to a Class 1 misdemeanor, it makes the possibility of criminal prosecution that much more likely.
Further remarks. Representative Van Norman.
Question of the sponsor.
State your question.
My question is, looking at the statute, it appears that this is criminal already. It's defined as a Class 1 misdemeanor, and I guess I'd like to know whether the disciplinary board of the bar has felt the need for this particular change.
Representative Mattson, do you wish to answer the question?
I will, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. Representative Van Norman, maybe I can explain the history a little bit for you on this, on how we got here. If you look at the original copy of Senate Bill 154, which I believe was, well, it was into the third page long, there was an attempt made to define the practice of law. The practice of law is not defined in South Dakota by statute or by a ruling of the South Dakota Supreme Court. A group of people within the state bar have been working very diligently to try and come up with a definition to try and explain more clearly what is and what is not the practice of law. They just to make a long story short, this proposal isn't good enough, and those people are going to work harder, and I would expect next year, the year after that, you're going to see another proposal that looks very much like this. On the other hand, it's still an opportunity. The state bar felt, and I felt, and willing to carry this legislation, that raising the penalty is still an important consumer protection and something this body should pursue.
Representative Van Norman, you have the floor.
I guess my specific question was there a need to go to a higher criminal penalty recommended by the State Bar Board?
Representative Mattson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It was recommended. This is a State Bar bill. And if you'll look, that was part of the original 154, and that's raising the penalty is all that remains. And like I said, leaving an offense that can be this difficult to prosecute, that has some of the legal nuances of something like a case involving what is the practice of law and whether a person has violated it, and the seriousness that it can have to a consumer, it was felt that it's more likely to get state's attorneys across the state to prosecute one of these cases if the offense is more serious than a speeding ticket.
Representative Van Norman, you have the floor.
Another question of the sponsor. Our statutes exempt certain people like law students and others who may be qualified to practice. Let's say, for example, one of those people coming into practice, assuming they were covered in good faith, relied upon those exemptions to the statute. It seems to me that they could be prosecuted under a Class 2 misdemeanor. How would that be handled under this statutory scheme?
Representative Mattson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Van Norman, the exemptions that exist, and the one you've cited is for instance, for a third year or a senior law school student practicing under the supervision of a licensed attorney, those exemptions still exist, and they're always going to exist. This changes none of those exemptions. They're always going to be a defense and possibly a bar to prosecution.
Representative Van Norman.
Last question would be, what about the person who relied on good faith, but yet for some reason their paperwork hadn't been turned in? Are they going to be prosecuted under this?
Representative Madsen.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Van Norman, every case is different. And I suppose we could spend the rest of the day here trying to what if every possible situation. I can't say what's going to happen. I can't say what an individual prosecutor would do with something like that. I can tell you what I would do, and that would be to look at it on a case-by-case basis and think that if a mistake's been made and something was isolated, then maybe that's not a prosecutable case. This, you've got to remember what the aim of this legislation is, and the crosshairs on this type of legislation is directly centered on the people who are out there. They're not lawyers. They're holding themselves out as people being just as knowledgeable as lawyers, and they're acting and doing things as lawyers when they don't possess the same knowledge that you or I have. They don't have the same training that you or I have. They sure don't have malpractice insurance, and they're sure not subject to any of the discipline procedures that you and I are subject to. But they're running around acting for people, and they're messing those people's stuff up. That's who this is aimed at.
Further remarks. Representative Koistinen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I was listening to read the bill before, I had some reservations about it. And then I looked up some of the different, or I had looked up some of the different license penalties for operating different things without a license. And there's a lot of them that are Class 2 penalties. For instance, if you're acting as a car dealer, which I think was something like if you sell 6 cars a year, there's a number there. But that's a Class 2 misdemeanor. And but when you get to more important matters, like, for instance, if you're acting as a realtor without a license, that is a Class 1 misdemeanor. There you're possibly handling tens of thousands of dollars, something that is very important. And so, to me, I think getting correct legal advice is something that is very important, and I would encourage raising it to a Class 1 misdemeanor. Thank you.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 154.
Speaker.
Go ahead.
I respectfully call a question.
Call the question. Second? All those in favor of calling a question will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Let's vote. Hearing no further remarks on Senate Bill 154. The question before the House is final passage of Senate Bill 154. Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed, no. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. The member shall proceed to vote.
Representative Ponemol. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were 57 yeas, 13 nays.
Senate Bill 154, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Are there questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.